There's one thing about it. Life is uncertain, but death is sure. And it really pays you, me, whoever, to have an experience with God and know that we're filled with His Spirit. The Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And to be filled with His Spirit, to have faith in God, that is an absolute in life. And a person should always be ready, because you don't know when He might call you or call me or decide that He wants us over on the other side, as we say. So we should do everything that we possibly can while we can, because whether young or old, it doesn't matter whether rich or poor, whether educated or whether ignorant, when God calls, you have to go. You have to go. So this, of course, is the all-important thing, is to be sure that you've made peace with God. And then another thing is, I often say, people should want to serve God. God is so good. God hath made all things, and that for you and I. And then God hath made you and I for all things. Well, that is to say, I often think of how good He is, to think that God would make a person with an appetite for so many wonderful things, from fruits, foods of all kind, drinks, things to quench thirst. He would make an appetite for those things and then make the things for the appetite. Truthfully, God is good. God just loves to create a pond, a beautiful fish pond, and then create ducks so that you can just glide along on top of the pond and fish so they can play in the pond. And God is always doing good things. The Bible teaches that when God was in Jesus, that is to say, God the eternal Spirit, the Bible said to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to Himself. He went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. And the Bible said that He was not imputing their trespasses unto them. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, that is to say, he that is covered by the blood. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith without works, or that is to say, the works of Jesus Christ are given in our behalf, and God imputeth faith for righteousness. And the Bible said, and Abraham's faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. And it was said that he was the friend of God, he believed God. For Abraham had a testimony that he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. John tells us this is the secret to salvation, that we should do the things that please Him. Hereby we convince our heart. We convince our heart and we persuade our heart. And then our heart believes in God. And the Bible said we know then that He heareth us. And the Bible said if we know that He heareth us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him, because we do the things that please Him. So then to convince the heart is the thing that we need to do. I like the testimony of Enoch. The Bible said before Enoch's translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe He is, that is to say, believe there is a God, and he must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then I like the testimony especially of my Savior. And that is, His testimony was, the Bible said that He did always the things that pleased the Father. If I could have the testimony that I did always the things, or that I do always the things that please God, then I would be happy. So then my ambition in life is to go on. The Bible said, let us go on to be perfect. To be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Turning not again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works, and faith toward God, but on to the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And these things shall we do if God permit. But let us go on to be perfect. The Bible said Job was a perfect man. And the Bible said, mark the perfect man among you. Mark the end of that man, for it shall be peace. And the Bible teaches again that God hath perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified us once and for all by the works of the Lord Jesus, of the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. For he is justified by faith, he is sanctified. And the Bible said the faith by which we're sanctified, even the faith of Christ, and then he hath glorified and hath perfected or made perfect forever them that he hath sanctified. Then he says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, seeing that God is the one that justifies, seeth that God, he's the one that called you, that you're elect according to his foreknowledge or what he foreknew of you. Well, God hath elected you unto grace, and you are God's elect. And no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, for God hath by predestination determined before you were ever born into the world that ye should be a peculiar type people, zealous of good works, a nation with a king whose name is Jesus. And a peculiar nation, zealous of good works, and that ye should be a person or people that are eternal, that live forever, that never die. So then we see that by the grace of God, the Bible teaching the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, and men are pressing their way against the evils of this life and the contrariness of the human arguments, and pressing their way into the kingdom of God, pressing against the outer person, as the inner person, pressing against the outer person, that they may come into the wonderful kingdom of God. So we find that from this, the Bible teaches that we have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation, all because of the love of God. For love is as strong as death. And by the love of God, we have passed from the death as to our soul separating from God to be put into a lake of fire and will never come to that day. And now we have eternal life, not as to a time coming when we're going to get eternal life, but the Bible said we have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God from Calvary on. And down through the church ages, we're enjoying these wonderful things, coming into the great knowledge of God. The minister set there for the perfecting of our faith, detailing the promises and good things of God to us. So we find ourselves coming into the wonderful promises of God to believe. And then we have them. So we come to these wonderful things. We come to the Word of God. And then we believe. And when we believe, then we receive the wonderful blessings of God. All right, I want to read just a little bit to you this morning, just before we speak to you. Reading from the book of St. Luke, the 5th chapter. And if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. The 27th verse. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often, and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and they shall fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilt, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Now, I want you to notice that the Lord is making a comparison here. The Pharisees and the scribes many times became angry at the Lord Jesus because Jesus would speak in a parabolic form. And the Bible said, without a parable spake he not unto the people. And he would speak in a parabolic form, in that God is a spirit. And in that God is a spirit, then whatever God does, he does it through the natural things of life, or he works through natural or human instrumentality. So then in doing this, that makes it parabolic because he is a spirit. And the only things that we see and the things that we hear are those things that are around us with which our human senses are acquainted. So then, the creature as to the body being made subject to vanity, or that is to say, my five human senses being subject to the things of this world for means of survival, then I'm acquainted with those things. And God being a spirit, I cannot see God with my natural eyes. With these eyes as to 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, I cannot see God. For God is the great light, which means the great understanding. He is the great light, the great intelligence, the great understanding. I cannot approach into that light except through the blood of Jesus at Calvary. Jesus came and said, I'm the light of the world. And then when Jesus departed, he said, now you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember, light produces works, and works, good works, are seen by people, and then they believe that you love the Lord, and they believe that you have something in your heart different from the world. We are different people from the world. We cannot mix and mingle with the things of the world. This is why Jesus so emphatically stated, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. See, so he's calling us into the grace of God. He's calling us from those things that's going to perish. Satan is the prince of this world, and he savors or desires the things of this world. And if you have the intellectual mind as to that of a derivative from the fall in the garden by the expulsion, then you're going to have the mind of the world and the spirit of the world. And I preached to you the other night, Jesus said we're not to have the spirit of the world. So then we get into the spirit of the world. We get into their laughing and their joking and their merit. And they go on with these things. Perhaps the Bible says that this is like the crackling of thorns under the pot in a fire. But in the house of mourning, the heart is made better. And the Bible said that we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, we're to separate ourselves from the things of the world, to come out from among them, be a separate people, to be about the Father's business, touch not those unclean things. And God said, and I will receive you, and I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I will bless you. I will make you rich. My blessing shall make you rich. And add no sorrow, for it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. If you'll delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. And then ye shall be like the tree that's planted by the waters, that will bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. So then we see that God has done a great thing for the saints. The thing that he has done has been for you because God is good. God is good. He's very good. There's none good but God, according to the scripture. And God is good, and he's made all things beautiful in his time. He hath made you, and you are the apple of his eye. And because man has fallen from God, because of the garden experience, then Satan hath entered into his mind and entered into his flesh, entered into the outer man. And Satan hath made war against the knowledge of God and against God. And through this he hath deceived mankind and separated man from God. And man is afraid of God because God is invisible. He cannot see him. And man is afraid of that he cannot see, that he does not understand. So then, man hath always been on the run away from God, away from God. And God trying to talk to him and trying to love him. But Satan deceiving man to make man think that God wanted to punish him and that God wanted to take his life. and that God wanted to cut him off from all these good things because he was evil and he was wretched. But see, that wasn't God's plan at all. The Lord has pursued us with hands dripping with blood. Dripping with blood, having been beat. The Bible said, bruised for our iniquity and the chastisement of our peace being upon him by whose stripes we're healed. Personifying himself in a human body called Jesus, tabernacling in that body and walking among mankind. Like John says in the book of Revelation, and he said, the tabernacle of God is among men. And when the dove came down there at the baptism, it was said, a voice spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. That is the original rendering on it. So then we find that God tabernacled in that body. And that body was made sin so that God could lift it up by the Christ on the inside of it. And that Christ could take that body to Calvary. And God could smite that body in the behalf of you and in the behalf of me. And that sin would forever be gone underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. So then God, the Bible said, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that we may never have to contend with that warfare again, as do any justification of evil against us. So then we see that the Lord has in his lifetime and through his death become our sins, the Bible tells us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by his wonderful resurrection. Having been delivered for my offenses and crucified, he was raised again for my justification unto life. And because he lives, today I live. And as sin came by one man and condemnation unto death over all men, even Adam, as in Adam all die, so then life has come by one man, even the Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of life and condemnation being lifted. And there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So then you must be born again. You must be born again. If you are not born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. This continual warfare that you have between the outer man and the inner man, as to Paul referring to this body as being the body of this death, the body of this death that is now dead, it is now buried by the body of the Lord Jesus, it is now in a watery grave laid away in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And from that water we have come forth unto a new world. And the Bible said, behold, old things have passed away and all things are new. So then we are a new creature in Christ. And the Bible says, as Paul speaking, it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. That is, my temporal life is gone because of sin, and the Bible said the body is dead because of sin, or that is, the judgment had to come upon it because of sin, as in Adam all die. But today I have eternal life. And today, by the foreknowledge of God that looks over this chasm, or over this valley unto the coming of the change of Thessalonians, then that means that I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, having royal blood flowing through my veins, and God doesn't see that bastard child image anymore of that first birth that was born in Adam unto death, but that's buried, folded up, laid away. God smote it at Calvary through the smiting of the body of Jesus, in that the Bible said we esteem him smitten of God, folded up and laid away. And today it's Christ living in the eyes of God and in the presence of God, and he sees me without sin, he sees me without blemish. He that is born of God cannot sin, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So then we find that we are pure in his sight, we are holy in his sight, we are godly in his sight, we are called the saints of God by the works and righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And what God wanted me to do, or wanted me to be, he made the Lord Jesus to be that in my behalf. And now my faith in his righteousness is imputed unto me as righteousness. So then I find God purifying my heart by faith. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the lips confession is made unto salvation. So the Bible said, say not within thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring him down, or descend into the deep to bring him up, but the word is nigh you, even the word of faith, that if you can believe in your heart in the works of Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the man said to Paul, said, go down to the street, call straight. Or the Spirit did, said, go down to the street, call straight, and the man will tell you what to do. And the man said to Paul, Paul, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins. So then we see what a wonderful thing God has wrought. Here we are as the divine generation or partakers. I cannot be as an old bottle. I must be as a new bottle. For as the old bottle, Jesus tells us here, speaking parabolically and concerning the wine, he said, you cannot put this new wine as to the new birth or as to this revealed knowledge of righteous people. You cannot put this into old bottles. He warred with the Pharisees who believed in the resurrection. He warred with the scribes who were the ones that wrote the law. And he said, they spoke of Moses and the things of Moses and what God had told Moses. And he said, that's wonderful. But see now, as you and I would say, Jesus said to them, the law is folded up and it's laid away. In the transgression of the law is sin. God had to send his son to do away with sin. And I remind you again, Paul said, in that which the law could not do, in that was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he done away with sin. Because Jesus folded up the law and laid it away. See, the Bible said, and not one jot and a tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle and then said, Father, it is finished. Then he folded it up and he laid it away. The law of sin and death. I could not keep that law because of the weakness of my flesh. So then God, coming down in a human body, personified himself in the form of Jesus Christ, called the Son and fulfilled that law, folded up that law, laid away that law. And today, because of that, you and I cannot sin. See, transgression of the law is sin. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. That's why the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. When you're born again, the Bible said you're dead to the law by the body of Jesus and dead to the world, and the world is dead to you by the body of the Lord Jesus. That is to say, they that are in sin. So, we find that the law is folded up and laid away. Transgression of the law is sin. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. It's folded up, it's gone. I cannot transgress it because it's dead to me, and I'm dead to it by the body of the Lord Jesus. And because of this, I say again, if there is no transgression, then there's no sin. If there's no law, there can be no transgression. And if there's no transgression, there's no sin. And if there's no sin, then there's no death, because the sting of death is sin. So then, grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? We pass from death unto life, the Bible said, and shall never come into condemnation, because we're not in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. That is to say, the mind of carnality that got into Eve through the weakness of the flesh and was handed down as to the reproduction through Adam, as an Adam all die. To be carnally minded is death. Or that is when God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. For when you partake of that knowledge, you're going to die. But see, today we have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says as to the mind of Christ, it speaks to us on this wise. And ye pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. So then we find a new word. Not a word as to condemnation and death. Not that kind of word that says thou shalt surely die. But we found a word of life. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing. Oh, that is, I give you life. My words are spirit and my words are life. So then he said, I come that you might have this wonderful abundance of life filled up and overflowing. That is, on eternal basis, you can have this wonderful life. Well, he said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. All things. Whether it's health, whether it's happiness, whether it's finance, whether it's security of your loved ones, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter what it is. Everything that produces life, everything that pertains to life, I want you to have it. I've given it to you through Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, shall he not freely with Christ give us all things? Well, that is to say, if he's given us the very best that heaven can afford, which is Jesus, his own son, shall he then not freely give us all things? Or would he withhold anything? Anything that he could give us would be of less value than what he's already given us. Therefore, would he withhold any other thing? I will give you the desires of your heart if you will delight yourself in me. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And I bring this to you so often and I emphasize it. That the threefold blessing of God is that you have natural prosperity as to your home, as to an automobile, as to land, as to clothing, whatever it might be in this world, as to monetary values. I would that you have these things, he said. And I would that you have a physical prosperity, that is to say, be in health, so that you can with your health enjoy the natural prosperity that I've given unto you. And then thirdly, I would that you prosper in your spirit. That is that you live godly, that you be holy, that I can dwell within your spirit, that I may secure you and seal all of these blessings unto an eternal source, to make them extensive, that they will last eternally or forever. That is to say, I want you to have this blessing of security. Because if you have the eternal blessing, if you have the spiritual blessing, then this will ensure you as to those things that I've already given you, as to the natural things. Well, that is to say, if you have the spiritual blessing, then those things as to the natural blessings will be eternally secured to you. And you'll have those eternal securities from now on. Everything will become an eternal security, that you'll never lose your physical blessings nor lose your natural blessings. So then God wants us to be happy and healthy and whole. So he disputed with the Pharisees and scribes. And they kept going back to Moses and talking about Moses and the things of Moses. Jesus said, that's fine. There's no dispute about that. God was with Moses. But now we're living in a new day. We're doing a new thing. God said, I'll do a new thing. Every day his mercy is new. So then God said, I'll do a new thing. And he said, now we've got some new bottles. You must be born again. And he said, in this new wine, this new message, the quickening of the spirit, this eternal spirit, this spirit of eternal life, my spirit, he said, it must be poured into new bottles. He said, I cannot put it into old bottles. If you're familiar with wine, and if you're familiar with the type bottles that they use, you know that the new wine that they had was quickening. It was quickening. And you also know that the bottles were made out of skin, and that bottles having once been used would dry up. They'd dry up and get hard. And if you put anything in them as to the quickening of the wine, it would stretch and move about and crack the bottle. And then the wine would perish and the bottle also would perish. But new bottles that were made out of skin were flexible. These still had the life within them as to be spongy or giving. And the wine could move in any way around in this bottle and stretch this bottle out, and the bottle would stretch accordingly as to the size. See, this is what God wants us to do, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Stretch out for God. And the Bible said, enlarge the borders of your tent. See, stretch out for God. Do something extra for God. Whatever you've done for God today, don't let that be what you're going to do tomorrow, unless it's do this plus. So tomorrow you want to do more. You want to go on, as the Bible said, to a full reward, to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. This is what God's wanting us to do, to stretch out in God. So then you have to put new wine into new bottles, lest the new wine burst the old bottles and the wine the new wine and the bottle perishes. So then we've got to have people that are born again. See, there's a move of God in the world now. There's a great move of God in the world. And the great mysteries of God are now being revealed. Why are they being revealed? Because we're at the place of the translation of the church. And it's going to take more than the preacher just coming forth, preaching us a little sermonette or reading something from the Bible. It's going to take more than that. See, it's going to take much more than that. It's going to take getting into the deep mysteries of God and programming the people's mind for another world and bringing them this great, wonderful mystery of the hidden Word of God. See, the Bible said, "He that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna." The hidden manna is the revelation of the Lord Jesus. John speaks of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual." Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So then we see that God he has a new thing. He has a new way of life. And them that are made for the next world are going to be educated to this. The same way as those that belong to this world has been educated through the tree of knowledge by the fall of Adam and Eve. As to the tree of knowledge. Remember, I say again, John came, laid the axe to the root of the tree. And that family tree, all the way from Calvary, that he called a generation of vipers, that had the mind of Lucifer through the weakness of Adam. See, all the way back to Calvary, he cut that generation down and said, "This generation of vipers is gone." Then he brought forth the tree of life, even the Lord Jesus. And Jesus referred to himself as a tree, as saying, "If they do this in a green tree, what will they do to the dry? Don't weep for me, but weep for your children." So then we find that a new tree came up, even a tree of life. That tree came up. That new tree of life came up. And today, we are of that family tree. We are of that tree that's planted by the rivers of waters. As I say, and the root of that tree goes down into the river of life. And the Bible said if God had not left us a root, we would be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. And David, the Bible said, speaking of David and the seed of David as to Christ Jesus coming, and the Bible said he is the root and the offspring of David. So then we have a root, and that root is the root to the tree of life. And that root goes down into the Spirit of God, which is called the waters of life, the river of life. In the New Testament, it speaks of these trees being on either side of the river. See, the root down in the water of life, it brings forth fruits of life, and its leaves doesn't wither, therefore the healing of the nation. So then this root within that river of life, and the branches as to whom ye are, as to the family of God. So then ye are the family tree, and this time a tree of life, because we pass from death into life, will never come into condemnation. And so then we are the tree of life. But before, to be carnally minded is death, that first birth. If you haven't become a new bottle to be born again, then you're of the first birth. And the Bible teaches that it doesn't matter what you look like, whether you're rich, whether you're educated, whatever, you are the image of the bastard child. And God said, unless you're born again to take on the image of the Lord Jesus, I'll despise your image in the morning, because it's out of harlotry. And your mind is carnal as to that which you're born with to begin with, and it's death. And there is a love within your heart, even the love of the world, and a desire as to the bonds child, as to that of the beggarly elements of the world. For your mind and desire is to the things of the world. You thrill to the touch of the world, and the inspiration of the world, and the spirit of the world. See, but when you're born again, you get God's spirit, and your spirit is heavenly. Your conversation is in heaven. Your desire is in heaven. Your ambition is in heaven. It's like somebody that's planning a great vacation. Say, for instance, if I was going from here to Hawaii, which we do sometimes, if it was on vacation, which we don't do as a rule. But anyway, if I was going from here to Hawaii to preach or vacation, whatever it would be, and I would tell my wife, and then Betty and I would be so greatly enthused. See, we would lose all desire for the home front just momentarily. You know, we're tired, we're weary, we say we've been working on a job as man does before he takes his vacation. And if you could just get away for a few days, he says. So then his mind begins to go way out to California, way out through Hawaii, he begins to think on those things and how wonderful it's going to be when he gets over there and what he's going to see and how thrilling it's going to be. And his whole makeup is toward the place where he's going. See, because this is the way that it works. So we are enthused. We're not concerned about the things round about us. We've already packed our garments. We've already made plans. We've already got our funds and whatever. We'll soon be on our way. In our mind, we're already in transit. So this is the way it is. We have the mind of Christ. We've already left the earth. And as to the gravitational boundaries of earth, we've exhaled that. And now we're sitting in heavenly places. And our mind is exceedingly great in Christ's knowledge. And our souls are enraptured to an excitement because we're looking forward to the next world. See, we've moved into it by faith and by the mind of Christ. And the Spirit is revealing that wonderful world to us. And we're busy. We don't care about the sports of the world and the things of the world and the frolics of the world and all these things of the world. We leave that to the world. See, when we was in the world, we would do that. Like I've said so many times, Dad in his early life was a baseball player. And me being just a little fellow, I'd get up, way up in the grandstand, you know, to watch my daddy hit the ball and play ball. And my uncle, he was a director of this thing or an outstanding coach. See, and I just loved those things. And as I grew up as a boy, it was just my everyday joy to play ball and to get out and partake of the sports and anything like that. I just loved it because that was my first birth. I wanted that. I wanted everything I could get, you know, in the natural. But then when I became a Christian, and I suddenly realized that I didn't want that. I didn't want that. I was dead to that. I have no enthusiasm toward that anymore. But there is something on the inside of me that encourages me, entices me, allures me to the wonderful things of God. So then I'm on my way. I'm enjoying this. I'm not short of anything. There hasn't been anything good held back from me. The Bible said God will withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before him. I have the desires of my heart. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I don't know of anything that I want that I can't get in the materialistic realms of life. I don't know of any place that I want to go but what God hasn't provided where I can go. I've not lost anything. See, but still, I'm not interested in the world. I'm not interested in the things of the world. I become so excited over the things that I've found in God and the things in heaven till my life is completely occupied day by day with these things. All night long, I think of these things. If I wake up in the night and want to talk to him, I'm so happy to think that I have eternal life, that I can never die, that I pass from death into life, and that the body of this death as to the first man has been put off and laid away, and that out here God now sees me as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and as the Thessalonian chains, the Bible said, when he shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the trump of God, the voice of the archangel, that I'll see him as he is, and everyone that hath this hope within him shall purify himself even as he is pure. And at that moment, when that trumpet sounds, I'll be changed into his likeness and I'll live eternally. To me, that's wonderful. A world without end, giving God a few short, miserable days of this life, trading him, this life, for that life eternal. He that seeketh to save his life in this world shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake as in this world, he shall gain it and that unto eternal life. So then I find myself filled with the joy of God for serving God as joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost or in the Spirit of Christ. Now, let me say this in closing. So, I am overjoyed to be a new bottle and to have this new wine within me. And I'm satisfied to leave the old way of life and to be a new creature in Christ. I'm satisfied to be about my Father's business and enjoy life in his great abundance. Let me say this to you. Have you considered the fact that if you have 70 or 80 or 90, and sometimes some people live 100 years, very rare, but in the event that you have 70 or 80 years, have you considered, as Solomon said, that that's swifter than a shuttle? swifter than a shuttle. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away and you can't find it anymore. Have you considered that you're giving all of your time, all of your thought to that world? That by the time you're 20, 25 years old, you don't have too many years left to do anything in this life. And you go the way of all the earth. See, and have you considered that all of your plans, all of your programs as toward this flesh, as to educate it, as to comforts and convenience, where the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Sin's in the world. Satan is the controller of this world. He's the controller of the system. It has to pass away. For the world and all therein shall pass away. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All that's going to pass away. And are you considering that you're giving all of your life, all of your time, all of your interest to that side that is perishable? When you could give them the few miserable days that you have here with all of the problems. A few days and full of problems, Solomon said. Do you realize that if you gave just those few years to God, that he would give you life without end? Riches without end, youth without end, happiness without end, no end to it. From now on, let me say this in closing. People make the mistake of giving their whole life to self and not to others. To look on the things of another, the Bible said, to esteem others better than yourself, to seek the welfare of another. See, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. To bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ that you might meditate in his laws day and night. And to give your body a living sacrifice to be about the Father's business, which is your reasonable service. To take time, the Bible said, to be holy. So then, in the light of these things, you look at the world. And the world is blinded. And the Bible said Satan, even the god of this world, Lucifer, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good cometh. But ye are children of light or of understanding, and ye know that the day is near, even nigh, even at the door. The coming of the Lord is near at hand. So then as people, let's remember this one thing, as people, that we don't want to go after the world and the things of the world and take those few feeble days. We don't want to do that. We want to have eternal life. So we want to give this life to God and lose the gullible desire for the perishable things of the world. For if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. It isn't there. No matter what you say, if you have a love for those things, for the sports of the world, for the careers out there that's in the world, to make your way as a life in this world, then the love of the Father isn't there. The love of God. So then let's turn to God with all of our heart, to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves. Let's grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Let's come into something for God. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's have a vision. Let our conversation be in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Well, wherever your treasures are, that's where you'll find your heart. And I want my heart to be in God. That's why I spend my time in God, is because I want my heart to be in God. And that way God will purify my heart by faith. And I can believe unto righteousness. And as I'm doing today all over the world, to preach the gospel, to make the confession of faith unto salvation. For from the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate your kind attention this morning. Certainly our pleasure and delight to have you with us day after day. I trust that God will bless you. The things that we say go out on radio, TV, and we want to be able to reach people out there. We've been able, by the help of the Lord, through radio and TV, evangelism and crusades, to speak to many, many tens of thousands of people. Sometimes a radio broadcast will have a coverage of hundreds of thousands of people, or millions of people. And now that we're privileged to have the TV broadcast is a satellite covering North America, Canada, Hawaii, going down even into Central America, all over into the islands and across the United States. Then we're hoping to win more souls. My desire is to win more souls. I pray at night. I'm sure many of you pray at night. I pray at night when everybody's asleep, and I ask God to help me, to make me a soul winner. I never desired to be a preacher. I still don't desire to be a preacher, even though He's called me to the ministry. But I desire to be a soul winner. The Bible said, "He that winneth souls is wise." And I want to be a soul winner. And the Bible said, if you win just one soul, the angels in heaven have a jubilee and rejoice over it, rather than over 99 just people that need no repentance. And if I can just go out, whether it's by television or radio or in my tent ministry, as those crusades, auditoriums or whatever it might be, and they're preaching in sometime in a little church somewhere or preaching here, if I can just win one soul to God from time to time, I'll be happy. I hope I'll win a whole lot more than that. But if I just win one soul, I remind you again, the Bible said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathens for your inheritance. And I've asked of God, I said, Lord, give me the heathens, even unto the end of the earth. Give me the heathens for my inheritance. And He's given them to me. And we've won many people in the heathenistic countries. And America's almost as heathenistic now. And those are jewels in my crown. He said, when I come to make up my jewels, referring to people as jewels, and my crown is a crown of life, a crown of living, an eternal crown of living. I eternally live, and doing that eternal abode and transition of life, these people will appear as beautiful jewels that I can see sparkle, that I've won to God along the way, all through my life, my eternal crown of living. As He crowns my soul with eternal life. These are jewels in my crown. The Bible said, hold fast, let no man take your crown. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Sing this so often. It's called I Love Him. And I say this so often, that if you love me, the Bible said, you'll keep my commandments. One was to love one another, to love thy neighbor as thyself. I love Him. Can you sing that with me? I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing that with me again now? I love Him. Sing it with me. I love Him. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's. Can you sing this little chorus with me? Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. Oh, every promise in the book. Sing it one more time with me. Every promise in the book. The altars are open if you'd like to come. Every verse and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. One more time. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every
reversed every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book is mine.
Let's give him another hand, can you?
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And all who need have come there still for one there. I need thee, Lord, I need thee, every hour I need thee, I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I, bless everybody just come this morning, make a new dedication to the Lord. Don't turn him away. Again, so let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your call on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him.
Can you sing it to me like this now?
And he was here. My Lord was here all the time.
Let's lift our hands in love.
And he was here all the time. And he was here. Waiting patiently in line, and he was here all the time. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my heart's at ease preparing, gives me faith that I can make it.
Let's sing another chorus or two before we dismiss.
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow.
Can you sing that with me?
Across the bridge, there's no more strife. For the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life I'm living in, I have lived a life of sin.
I have
done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Sing it with me now. He said, across the bridge, there's no sorrow. He said, across the bridge, there's no the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Far across the bridge, there's no sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more strife, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy.
Somebody say, I love you, Jesus.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your day will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, Lord. Come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Trouble in my soul, my head bending low, looking for the place it would end. Then an old-time preacher came preaching one day from the good book, said a few words. Now I can say there's nothing in my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. Can you sing that with me? So come a little closer, just a little closer, Lord. Come a little closer to the Lord.
Your heavenly load will lighten, and your days will brighten. Come a little closer to the Lord.
One more time. So come a little closer, just a little closer, Lord. Come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little. Can you sing one more time? So I came a little closer, just a little closer. I came a little closer to my Lord. My heavy load will lighten, and the days brighten since I come a little. One more time together. Lift up your hand. Close your eyes.
Come a little closer.
Just think now. A little closer to God in your heart. Just a little closer. A little closer to the Lord. Make it come a little. One more time. We're going to sing it together. But ask Tony to come and dismiss us. Just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer. Going to sing it one more time now. So come a little closer, just a little closer.